got that button on turned on now. Yes, sir. There you go. That's what I'm talking about real good. Let me just tell you right now, that's top shelf preaching, singing, and all of that praise in the name of the Lord. I just love that song. And not only that, I love the fact that my family's able to sing it. And it just does my heart real good deep down in my soul. One of the things that happens is that I went to see a doctor, this week, and they wanted to take a lot of pictures of me inside. And obviously, they didn't want to take a picture of my teeth. They told me I could take them out and hold them or put them in my pocket. And so when that x-ray thing was working, but I had on a cap that some of these kids had bought for me. And it says on there just what they sang about God is good. And that nurse, she was sticking me in the arm, and I was wanting to break down and just cry so bad I didn't know what to do. But anyhow, I didn't. I held it up like a big boy. And as a result of that, she's working, comes by the nurse after that lady gets through and says, I like your hat. I said, well, thank you very much. And then I tell her the story. And that he had it written in his Bible 212 times. She said, oh, my word, I am so sorry. And so let me just say, you never know when the door of opportunity, when the door of witness, you see. And I'm sorry that I didn't think about saying it before I went through all the torture with my arm, but I'm a self-centered person, just like many of you are. You can deny that you are, but I know you. I'm not running you down. I'm just putting you in the same category that I'm in. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking tonight in the book of Luke in chapter 14. You find the place you're able to stand in the book of Luke in chapter number 14. It's good to be saved. It's good to know the Lord, to be able to worship Him in spirit and truth. And I want you to look, if you will, please, in chapter number 14 and verse number 14. Let's start there. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. In other words, if you and I are doing something for somebody that can't repay you, don't worry about it, because you'll be recompensed at the just. And when one of them sat at meat with him and heard these things, said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And then said he unto him that a certain man had made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time, saying to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one accord began to make excuse. So they sounded Baptistic, didn't they? The first said unto him, said, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see him. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said that I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so that servant came, showed his Lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, look at that. Boy, all these excuses made God angry. The master got angry and said unto his servant, go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, and as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. We thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've heard tonight. And Lord, what a blessing that it is to be in the house of God. We pray that now you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. It's our heart's desire and prayer unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight, a sermon entitled, When the Master Was Angry. When we look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and know that we many times, lose our temper and we'll slam a door or spin out in the gravel, with our vehicle. But if God gets mad, he can turn a mountain upside down. Our God, buddy, is just whenever he was angry because of the fact that he knew that this was a bunch of excuses that didn't amount to a hill of beans. He knew they were just excuse making. In fact, If you buy something and it's yours, it doesn't make any difference if it's approved or not. You've already bought the thing by now. And as a result of that, you'll find is that these oxen that he bought, the lamb that he seen, all that business there, it just was very obvious, you know. Now, the guy who married a wife, I don't know if he was needing to get permission from her like the average Baptist does or not, you know. God bless whoever said right. God bless that and all that right there. Yeah, he's old enough. He knows now. He's better. Yeah. He's pointing. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson that you find is that we not only are compelled and commanded to be able to go and to invite people to come to the house of God, but let me say to you, the Bible said in Colossians 1:28, and don't turn there, but we're to go out and we're to warn every man. That means in the world, our responsibility is to give out the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're to warn every man about the Lord God of glory that can save them from the uttermost, from the guttermost to the uttermost. And we're to warn them about the fact that there's only one way to be saved. There's not two. There's only one. Never has been but one. There's one tonight and be one tomorrow until Jesus comes again. It's in a person, by the way. His name's the Lord Jesus Christ. In the lesson that we're looking at, we live in a world that is a little spooky, if you please. And what they do is they'll tolerate Moonies. You ever been to an airport where all them Moonies are, you know, in a place like that? They've got a lot more of them in some of these places further out west that you go in California and maybe New York and some of these other cities, you know. Let me tell you right now, we tolerate a world, we live in a world that tolerates that. The Flower Children, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, the Roman Catholic, and all her little harlots that go with her, they tolerate that. They preach damnable heresies to their congregation, and the world just seemingly does not care. Now, they tell you what they do care about. They care about the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they hate that with a passion. I can promise you that if you were to go and preach the truth of God about that whore in Revelation, you'd call that race a stink in a hurry. See, they will say, well, I don't think it's good. I don't think it's right for you to name religion. Then wherein lies false religion? If you're not going to be able to name false religion by name, then wherein does it lie? In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, the Bible said, don't lose your text here, but over there in the book of John, St. John, in chapter number 15, there's a passage in verse number 18. St. John, chapter number 15, and about verse number 18 is where we're going to take up looking at in that chapter. I want to say to you, this is a crowd that tolerates everything under the sun, but they hate the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus said over in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, I want to tell you, that's just pretty plain spoken, is it not? If you stand for God, if you live for God, if you name the name of Christ, if you practice the doctrine of the word of the Lord, of the doctrine of Christ, if you do that, you're not going to be buddies with the world. If you can be buddies with the world, brush shoulders with the world, and buddy, they love you as one of their own, something's radically wrong in your life. In this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that the world never has been. It is not tonight. It won't be tomorrow, friends of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Over there in the book of John, St. John chapter number 10, about verse number 30, the Lord Jesus Christ said, Christ and God are one. In other words, they're one and the same. Whatever Jesus does, God the Father does. Whatever God the Father does, the Lord Jesus Christ does. You're going to find out is that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you're going to find that the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll find the Word of Christ is the Word of God. Make no mistake about it, we're living in a world that hates God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. And let me say to you that, if you will, the Bible said over in John chapter number 14, verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You may have a troubled heart tonight. If you're not saved, certainly you ought to have. But let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. See, there's a lot of people who want to believe in a God, but they don't want to believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate in human flesh. I want to say to you that, if you will, that Jesus condemned those that were in sin and those that were committers of sin. Remember over there in the book of Matthew in chapter number 5, Mark chapter number 9, he talked about, you know, that if your hand reaches out to grab something that it ought not to, you'd be better off to cut that hand off and go into heaven maimed than to die and go to hell with two hands. If your feet are leading you astray, you'd be better off to be able to hopscotch in on one foot and take the other one off than it would be to be able to go to hell with two feet and so forth and on. Let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that if the eye offend thee, pluck it out. Make no mistake about it, whatever that is keeping you from Christ, you'd be better off without that than for you to spend the rest of your life with a whole body and die without hope and without God and go to a devil's hell. There's a passage in the book of Romans. I want you to look at it, if you will. It's in chapter 11. In the book of Romans, in chapter number 11. Now, you and I that are saved here tonight, you and I, it's good to be saved, to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. I remember the day I got saved. I remember the experience of getting washed by the blood, born into the family of God. I know what it was like to become a child of the King. And let me say to you, what a wonderful time that it is, and to be born again into God's family. In the book of Romans, chapter number 11, the Bible says in about verse number 9, in the passage there, he says, as David saith, then let their table be made a snare. Chapter number 11, book of Romans, verse 9. And a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I want to say to you, having stumbled, have they stumbled and that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, he's talking about the nation of Israel while you turn to Romans in chapter 14. In Romans chapter number 14, about verse 13 is the passage we're going to look at there. The Bible says, so verse 12, so every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge rather this, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now let me say to you that when you look into that and you begin to realize that, is that God's wanting us to know that if there's anything we ought to judge, it ought to be about ourselves. It ought to be about our conduct. It ought to be about our action. It ought to be about our life. It ought to be about our limb. And it ought to be as such that we do not put a stumbling block before those that we love and know and dearly the most. Like, for instance, is that you've been saved in a length of time. I've been saved a long time. Some of you longer than I have. And let me say to you that we've been praying for our loved ones. We pray for one another's loved ones. And do you know what ends up happening is that when you've been praying all these years and you've been asking God, and every now and again you'll get one of them to come, they'll get under conviction, sit right here listening to the preaching of the word of the Lord. But do you know what happens whenever you mess up and then you quit on God and you turn your back on the people of God and the very church and the very foundation that they could have been saved at and put on? Now, they're going to give that up and give over to that. You have just sealed their fate to a devil's hell because they're not going to listen to you now. See what I'm talking about? Fact is, they were glad it happened and wished that it would have happened quicker than it has. I know people that have got a daddy and a mama lost without God, a brother, a sister lost without God, family that's lost without God. I've seen them pray and weep at the altar and this and that. And I'm not just talking about you that are here and those that have just recently gone. I'm talking about down through 50 years. I've seen it more than one time. People that wanted to pray for their kids and pray for their grandkids. And when you mess it up, dear friend, you might as well hang it up and you can quit praying for them. Because they have now been satisfied all the way on the inside of themselves and in their mind, thinking, I knew I was all right already, and I wish you hadn't made me feel bad about myself like I am. In this Bible lesson, this is what God is saying. You'd better not put a stumbling block before those that are round about you. There's a passage over there in the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17. And I'll give you a moment to find it if you like. But here's what he says in verse number 5, Jeremiah, chapter number 17. Now, the Bible said that God recorded the sin of Judah with an iron, with a pen of iron, with a point of a diamond, graven upon the table of their heart. But in verse 5, here's what he said. Thus said the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Now, I got to tell you, you better lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help, because your help better be coming from the Lord. But cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and that maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into that and recognize that, you're going to find out is that there's not been a few people up and down the road of life. Over there in the book of Luke in chapter number 10, you're going to find that God pronounced a curse upon a city. You know what he said to them over in Luke chapter 10, it's about verse number 15. He talked about, and as he said there in chapter 10 in the book of Luke, verse number 15, listen to this passage here, and here's what he says. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He's not just going to send them, but he's thrusting them down to hell. And he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that there's going to be those in the book of Matthew, chapter number 11, and God warns about it in that chapter. And here's what he says concerning Jesus condemning this city, is that he said that it's more profitable for the Sodom and Gomorrah than it would be for a city that's departed from the true and the living God. Look in Matthew chapter number 11. It's in about verse number 20 in the passage there. And here's what he said. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And woe unto thee, Chorazin, and woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sodom, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now look in about verse 23, and thou, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, how'd you like to be living in a city worse than Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, here's what he says, it would have been remained until this day. In other words, is that when people are worse than Sodomites, is that one of these days they've got to stand before God, having rejected the blessed gospel, rejected the word of the Lord, rejected the truth of God, while you turn to Matthew in chapter number 23. Now, we live in a day and an hour, and where that there's a church of a sort nearly on every corner. We live in a day and an hour, you know, where there's a Bible perversion just about everywhere you go. But I'm glad to be able to know the truth, the way, the truth, and the life, and be able to know that God's only got one Bible. I'm glad to know that. In this Bible lesson in the book of Matthew in chapter number 23 and about verse number 13, here's what he said. But woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. My, what the Lord is calling people in the world, religion without God. He says, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and for neither go in yourselves, and neither suffer them that are entering in to go in. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, for a pretense make a long prayer. And therefore, you'll receive the greater damnation. Listen, have you ever seen anybody that really sung and didn't mean it? You ever heard anybody preach that didn't really mean it? You ever heard anybody, you know, that as presented unto God as though that they were truly, truly children of God, but they didn't really mean business? This Bible called them a scribe, Pharisee, and a hypocrite. And he said, for pretense, you make a long prayer. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find is that here's what he says in verse number 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye can pass the sea and the land to make one proselyte. Or that's somebody going to be pulling at you. It won't try to pull you out of a good Bible preaching church and giving you something that they can just go through the motions with. And said, when they make the proselyte, he make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. Now, that's what happens to people that are lost without God, that are religious, that when a person goes to trying to pull them another direction, and when they've been under conviction, it makes them twofold more the child of hell. You know what that means? makes them twice as hard to win as it ever did. We've got every now and again some people up and down the road of life. You and I have come, brushed shoulders with them. We've been with them, so forth and on. And sooner or later, if God will test where you're at to find out how real that you really are. I want to say in closing as we get ready tonight, you're going to find out the Lord Jesus Christ had warned us and forewarns us. Don't be afraid of man. Don't be afraid of what they can do, because after you die, that's all they can do. But he said, here's who you ought to be afraid of. You ought to be afraid of after that he's taken your life, can throw your soul into a devil's hell. In this lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you'll find that over there in the book of Matthew chapter 23 and about verse number 31. He said, wherefore, be ye witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Now, I'm going to tell you something, Mama. I'm going to tell you something, Daddy. If you want to raise a kid fit for nothing but hell, teach him to be a preacher fighter. And that's what will happen to him. This Bible said that when you look into it, you fill up the measure of your fathers, your serpents, your generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? He puts it pretty plainly, doesn't he? Now, I realize and know that as you and I look into this Bible, is that he warns us and tells us is that man that is rich and got a bank full of money and got new boards and want to tear down and build bigger ones and saying to his soul, eat, drink, be merry, for tomorrow thou hast much goods laid up for many years. God says to him, thy fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be thou hast provided? In this lesson that you're looking at here, you're going to find is that God wants to expose Bible rejectors that do not believe the blessed word of the Lord. Remember when God said to give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine? We've learned that according to the word of the Lord, that hogs are not concerned about pearls and dogs are not concerned about holiness. And as a result of that, we live in a world somehow or another that absolutely has no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. Now, in the book of St. John, chapter 8, we're going to be closing with it. We hadn't looked at that in a while. We used to say something about it often, and it needs to be repeated. Because in the book of John, chapter number 8, and about verse number 44, is where we're going to be looking. Now, Jesus is doing the talking. John, chapter 8, verse 44. He says, now, verse 43, look at it, verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech, Jesus said to them, even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus said, and because that I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now which of you convinceth me of sin, Jesus says. And if I say the truth, then why do you not believe me? All right, verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Look at that. You know how you can tell if you're a child of God? If you're a child of God, you hear the words of the Lord. Ye therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Now, that's a pretty serious matter, isn't it? I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, that in the day and hour that we're living in, is that this ain't going to get down to the short rows before Jesus shall come again and the trump of God's going to sound. When the trump of God does sound, you and I that are saved are going to be changed in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to be caught up together with them that have already gone on before us that are in the ground, and the graves are burst open. And then you and I, as their lives come forward, we're going to be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, there's a lot of folks, you know, there's a lot of folks that are out there that we think probably is going to make it, and they're just not. There's a few folks out there that we're thinking is not going to make it, and that are. I'm glad that it's not left up to me to be able to determine that, to decide that. I've got more than I can say grace over myself. I want to make sure. I want to make sure that whatever I can do, I'd like to. You ever just have a real, I don't know, compelling in your spirit to just give up, throw up your hands and quit. Well, the reason you'd better not do that, look at the boys and girls, the young men and the young ladies that you'd throw a stumbling block before that could never be answered. They could never answer it. I've got places in my Bible whenever I was going out of town and many moons gone by preaching where that some of these grandkids or some of these church get, where's the preacher? My work, can't I even go out of town without somebody dogging me? No, it's good to be missed, isn't it? Where's the preacher at this morning? Where's my pawpaw at this morning? And buddy, now let me say to you, I'd hate to know that I was in and out, more out and in, to where that if I was out, they just, oh, well, it's just another, you know, what I say. They expected me to be here. See, these kids growing up, I remember one of them asking me one time, and I've got it written down in the margin. And I remember Jacob saying, I got to be careful because these are my church clothes, and I hadn't got my everyday clothes on. I've got to go change out of these because he didn't want to be in trouble messing up his church clothes. Now, I want to tell you what, friend, when you were a kid growing up, I used to not like that mama telling me that. Get them shoes off, them's your church suit. Well, can't I have a pair of shoes that it can be every day? Yeah, you've got some back there you've kicked out that look like they've been run over and drugged, you know, behind a wagon somewhere. I want to say to you that it's good to be able to know that the church of the living God, we ought to be able to present ourselves with the best that we've got. And as a result of that, it's good for these kids to start growing up knowing I got church clothes, and I got everyday clothes, see? And let me tell you, that's good for them to be able to grow up listening to that. I wonder tonight, now obviously you're all in your church clothes. Here you are. You look good to me. And let me say to you that if you will, and by the way, I've been going to say this a while just so you know it. I heard a preacher here in this church, and he was reprimanding some of you folks for letting your kids do 2 years in one. Let me just say this as respectfully as I know how. That ain't none of his business. God bless you. Thank you very much. We were kind, courteous, and respectful, but that's none of our business. Thank you. Me and you both are right on that. Care who you are, where you hail from, and all this business there. I would to God I could have graduated after the first grade. Reason why I say the first grade, I didn't have to go to kindergarten. Didn't have kindergarten back then. That came along later. I've been scared to death ever since I found out that now kindergarten's in the mix, that they were going to make me come back and go through that. I just said all that. Now, I didn't. You didn't ask me, hey, do I recommend that? Not in every case, no. But that's people trying to tend to other people's business when they've got more than they can handle on their own. God bless you. Thank you very much. See? We got kids here going to school, doing a little bit of work. And they're so smart, they already got a little bit of college under their belt, and they're not even graduated. God bless you. That's more schooling than I ever want. But I'm not against it for you that do. See, in this lesson that we're looking at here, you're going to find that it's just good to be able to know him in the free pardon of sin. Know where you stand with God. And let me tell you right now, stand in the gap and make up the hedge and be able to let people know, hey, I came in my fighting clothes by faith, and I plan to fight the good fight of faith until Jesus comes again. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank you for loving us and while we were unlovable. These boys and girls that are here, my heart is thrilled every time I look at one of them read and sing and say anything for the glory of God. Just their presence here, what a blessing that it is to be a part of the family of God. Now bless, I pray thee, thy word to every heart that's here tonight in Jesus' name.